Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are introducing a new company on the show, and relatively new company in the markets, especially with this management team. We are chatting with Lakewood Exploration, traded on the CSE under the symbol LWD, and on the OTC markets under the symbol LWDEF. Now, just as a quick note, Lakewood Exploration will be undergoing a name change relatively soon. The company in the AGM material has the company name Silver Hammer Mining outlined. So potentially in a few weeks, maybe a month or two, the company name change will go through. But as of right now, it is Lakewood Exploration. And again, you can find it under those trading symbols. Chad and I are chatting with the president, Morgan Lekstrom. Now, Morgan, to start off here, since it is your first time on the show, I want to bring everybody up to speed on the overall focus of Lakewood Exploration. The company holds three past-producing silver mines. The focus is on silver exploration, primarily in Nevada and Idaho. Now, the Nevada projects, a couple of those just came into the company. And the Idaho project, that's what the company came to market with. Take us through that overall strategy, please, of silver exploration in both Idaho and Nevada.
Thanks for introducing us to your show. So silver in Nevada and Idaho, it's a really good question. Idaho and Nevada being the top prolific silver mining jurisdiction in the world right now, rated number one by the Fraser Institute. Idaho, another prolific jurisdiction for silver, a lot of past producing mines, 1.2 million or 1.2 billion ounces out of the area of the Silver Valley. We picked up the Silver Strand mine there, so another past producing mine. Same with Nevada. We picked up two past producing mines in Nevada as well in historic areas. So that's a focus of our company, is really focusing on these past producing areas that have been underexplored or haven't been explored with modern technology.
Well, Morgan, let's start off with Silver Strand first of the projects, and just dial in just a little bit more as to, you know, you've had some recent rock chip samples that were pretty juicy on the property, and this is a splay off that Osborne Fault. So what are the goals going to be when you start drilling it, and when do you think you'll start drilling the program?
Yeah, those rock chip samples were very encouraging. Some of them were from the existing underground, which we have access to, and we've rehabbed now as of last week, has been completed. We're looking at drilling surface and underground starting here this month in September. We're looking to get some juicy drilling results, obviously. The grades in that area range from 500, 400 grams a ton all the way up to 2,700 grams a ton, which we've seen so far. So we're looking to get that drilling program set off here, mobilizing to an underground drilling program and a surface drilling program. So we're able to hit it from a lot of different angles, a lot better depth.
So Morgan, when it comes to, let's say, the past producing nature here of the Silver Strand mine, how much of the old data are you guys working off to guide some of the exploration and give you an idea of just what the potential is here?
Yeah, so we do have some old data. We just filed our 43-101 on the asset, and we are interpreting all of that data to come up with the new targets. Our geologist, Phil Maholland, who is very experienced in the area between Idaho and Montana, he knows exactly what he's looking for. We're trying to get down to extend the depth of the mine from the existing 90 meters down to that, you know, prolific 1,800 meter mark. Obviously, that's over a large campaign, but to start here, we're looking at getting some confirmation holes in, bringing that all the way up to compliance, and then with the 43-101, and then expanding downward.
Morgan, just one more comment on the Silver Strand overall land package. There's also a part of it that's a splay off the Osborne Fault called the Burnt Cabin, but it also had a prior mine of sorts on it. Could you walk us through how that ties into the overall package with Silver Strand?
Absolutely. So that Burnt Cabin was a consolidation of a land package between Silver Strand and what is known as the Burnt Cabin Mine. They're all off the Burnt Cabin Fault. So this land package had never been consolidated before. It's a 5.5 kilometer land package. We're seeing mineralization in pockets on surface all the way between Silver Strand and Burnt Cabin. So Burnt Cabin Mine was a historic producer. I believe it was Smelter Flux. The information on that mine from the original data is not as clear as Silver Strand because it hasn't been touched in a very, very long time. So we're looking at surface samples up there. We've got surface samples of 255 grams a ton silver, all the way up to 9 to 12 grams a ton of gold up in that area as well. So it's very exciting from that standpoint. I'd like to remind people that at Silver Strand and Burnt Cabin, we have this gold credit, which means we have, as we produce silver, we have gold coming out all the way in our underground up to 5.5 grams a ton, which most mines are built on less than, you know, half a gram a ton. So pretty positive as a credit to us on the silver side.
All right, Morgan, let's switch over to the Nevada projects, because these are actually new to the company. Initially announced in early August, the deal closed just earlier this week to acquire two different projects in Nevada, Eliza and the Silverton Silver Mine. Now, these are both in what's called the Silver Alley in Nevada. What drew you to these projects? What historic work are you working off of here?
We picked these projects up from David Forrest. He approached us with these projects. Let's start with the Eliza project. That encompasses the old California mine. That is on the south side of the Eberhard Fault. And the Eberhard Fault on the north side had the historic Hamilton District and Treasure Hill. The area down below, which we picked up, has historic grades from 5,600 to 18,700 grams a ton. Only the last known exploration in that area was 1870s. The mine only operated from the 1860s to the 1870s. So very, very fast mining. It only operated for about 2 years, actually, at those grades. And then it was abandoned when silver crashed in the 1800s. Now, you keep that in mind. In the 1960s, there was a chip sample that came out of the California mine at 25,000 grams a ton. Most mines are built on, you know, 150 grams a ton. So there's a lot of historic data in there. I was personally out on site on both the sites, Eliza and Silverton, this last week with our geologists and with Dave as well, going over all the data and going over the touch points on site. And we're really excited to have these. These are truly unique opportunities as a silver company and building out a silver mining company to have assets in Nevada and Idaho. But in these historic areas, it really fits what we're doing.
Well, yeah, I was just going to ask you, Morgan, about the fact that how do you want investors to think about the company as you move forward? Because it's not that you just have moose pasture in the middle of nowhere you're drilling. You actually have three previous producing mines, the Silver Strand mine in Idaho, the Silverton Silver mine in Nevada, and then the California mine that's part of the Eliza project. So are you looking at this as a fast pathway back into production? Is it something that you want to get back into production in a couple of years? Or is it something you want to build the resources up and then have another company come on as a bolt-on operation? What's the larger vision for the company?
So larger vision for us is what we call a triple-pronged approach: large exploration potential, near-term production potential, and acquisitions. So acquisitions, obviously with the Eliza and the Silverton projects, we hit on that. Large exploration payoff, we are starting to drill in Idaho. We're starting a complex geo program in Nevada right now, and then we're going to look at drill targets. I mean, for us, we want to build a production silver company. So having these near-term production assets really complements that, but having the ability to explore them and have that large exploration payoff at the same time is really going to provide a lot of value to shareholders.
So let's talk about some of the near-term catalysts then. From my understanding, the drill program that is starting up soon in Idaho. Take us through that drill program and any other catalysts that people could expect here in the near term.
Absolutely. We're looking at drilling overall in the first phase and second phase of the drill programs, about 2,700 meters in Idaho. That's between surface and underground. That obviously is going to be a major catalyst once we start getting core samples back and defining that ore body down to depth. You know, keep in mind a lot of those mines in that area go down between 1,800 and 2,000 meters and have historically, some of those veins have historically produced 40 million ounces in just one vein. So this Silver Strand mine has only ever gone down 90 meters and was abandoned by the last owner just because they had a different idea of what they wanted to do, and now they're a gold company. So we have those catalysts coming out. We have the geo programs running concurrently in Nevada with planning for drill targets between some geophysics and geochemistry. We'll have a very steady stream of news on all three properties while we concurrently explore, drill, and plan them.
Well, just remind everybody, Morgan, what kind of cash does the company have in the treasury, and what will the budget be for the drill program that's kicking off in Silver Strand?
Yeah, so we raised $3.5 million in June. We haven't burnt a whole lot of it yet, so we're starting to drill here, like I said, this month. We'll spend about $500,000 to $700,000 on that program over the period of time, and then we'll start spending on the Nevada and Eliza assets as required and as the geophysics, geochemistry, and geomapping tells us we need to.
And one quick touch here on share structure. Shares outstanding right around 37.5 million. Can you take us through what management, insider zone, and any other key strategic shareholders, please?
Absolutely, yeah. 37.5 million shares outstanding. That's including this transaction that just closed. We shareholders, or the insiders, own about 42% of the company. That's insider and tightly held. The share structure itself is extremely tight. Like you said, 37.4 million outstanding. So it gives us a lot of room to grow, not only in our assets, but in our share structure to grow strategically.
Well, Morgan, just for people that aren't familiar with your background, walk us through, you know, what you've done prior to Lakewood, and also any of the other key team members that you think you should highlight that are part of the growth of the company.
Absolutely. So my background is a mine builder type. I've spent time with Freeport in Indonesia. I've spent time in the Oyu-Tolgoi complex in Mongolia. I've rehabbed and built a mine in Ghana with Golden Star Resources, and recently worked with Sabina Gold and Silver up on their Back River project, setting off their MLA, the Marine Laydown Facility, construction and engineering management. So my background truly is that full-scale engineering management all the way through to construction and building of a mine. We have Lawrence Ralston, who is prolific in the industry. He's ran resource opportunities and a really, really strong newsletter. He is a geologist background. He is the chairman of Metalla Royalties. He was the president of Quintana Resource Capital. He's been in this industry for 35 plus years and has a diverse hands-on experience. So he's really advantageous to have on our side. We have someone called Ron Burke. Ron Burke was the ex-VP exploration for Centerra Gold. He was the chief geologist for Silver Standard, and he contributed to discover the world-class Pit Arilla project in Mexico. And Jonas Lang, he's one of our directors. He's led or co-led more than $50 million in capital raises. So we have a strong capital background. He has a strong capital markets background. He's the executive VP with Maple Gold Mines. We have Phil Maholland, our chief geologist for our Silver Strand mine right now. He's 36 years in the industry. He's worked for big companies like Barrick. And we have advisors in the background on the capital market side that really complement our kind of triple prong team of near-term production potential with myself, large exploration payoff, you know, between Lawrence and Ron and Phil, and the capital market side with Jonas and folks in the background.
All right, Morgan, I appreciate the update here. Again, this is more of just a company introduction, bringing everybody up to speed on what the overall strategy is and the key assets within the company. We'll follow up as some news hits the market in the near term to dive a little bit more into the different projects and the different strategies. If anybody has any follow-up questions or you want us to focus a little bit more on any of those projects, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com, and we will follow up with Morgan and get Morgan to address those. Morgan, thanks for your time today. Thanks for the update. Keep us up to date on future news, please.
Thanks for your time, guys. Appreciate it.